I have a prophetic warning for the Open Door family, but I'm Bishop Alan DeDio. I am not Troy Brewer, but I play him on the live stream, obviously. I'm here representing him because Troy is playing hooky. Honestly, there's no way I could represent him. Have you seen him lately? He looks like Elvis Presley. That's how Troy Brewer looks. I look like Lyle Lovett. It's the cards we were dealt genetically. We got to deal with what we have to deal with. But listen, as always, we want you to go to troybrewer.com. You'll get all kinds of ministry there. You're going to get fed spiritually. But today we're going to have an important conversation, and I want to hear from you. I've got, of course, as always with me, my son, Evan DeDio, is here. Yeah. And he is going to be reading your comments and answering your questions in the live stream as well. So, Evan, thanks for being here with us today.
Man, it's great to be here. On ODX, we're taking over. Revival Nation Takeover.
It really is an honor. And you guys know that we love this ministry. We partner with this ministry, and we want to encourage you to do the same. You can do that by going to the website. You can do that by snail mail also. We love that as well, getting an actual letter from our partners and our friends with your testimony, your prayer requests. You can send that in. And there's the address right there, P.O. Box 3775 Burleson, Texas. And you can call in Troy Brewer's ministry. But you can get all that information when you go to troybrewer.com. They've got prayer partners standing by. Yeah, there it is, 877-413-0888. 877-413-0888. If you'd like to receive prayer today, you can call that number. And Troy Brewer, he didn't outsource this. I've been there. I've spoken with the team there. Most ministries outsource their prayer centers. And it's some company, and they love the Lord. They're Christian companies, and that's great. Troy Brewer said, I'm going to raise up a team who's going to do that, and we'll pray in the same way I would pray. And that's what he has there at the Open Door Prayer Center. And you can call it 877-413-0888. Sometimes it's good, Evan, just to talk to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And if you're watching in the chat, we're watching, by the way. We are live right now. So Robin, Ashton, good to see you. William Blair, howdy. You know you're messing with Texas folks whenever they got howdy in the chat. We got Dylan in the chat. What's up?
I say howdy. I'm from North Carolina.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Just maybe not as often. I don't know.
Yeah.
Texas Children says hello, everyone. Hello. Christina says, good afternoon, friends. This tribe is worldwide, from Australia to Canada, even uncharted wildlands like Oklahoma. Say hello and let us know where you're tuning in from. Absolutely. Jen, Terry together. Let's see here. Mark, good to see all of you guys in here. David Kitchen. Who is this guy? That's what David Kitchen says. I don't know. I don't know.
Who knows? Nobody knows. We're just here because we need to pray for Troy Brewer. I think we have video of where he was this morning. This was Troy Brewer's view this morning. I'm going to show you a clip of where he is and what he's doing because he's suffering for the Lord right now. Why don't you take a look at Evan's pulling it up. There's his view. There's his view this morning. Troy Brewer in Africa doing the work of God. He needs all the prayers we can get. Actually, he's there working with a lot of their orphanages, a lot of their the ministry that they do there, including digging wells for communities. We'll talk about that, and we'll show you what they're doing later. But it's such a blessing to partner with them and to do the work that they do with them, to partner with them to make it possible is an honor for us, and I know that it is for you, but we've got an issue. I believe that Troy Brewer Ministries, at the Open Door Experience, the Open Door family, as we head into 2027 is going to be a year where we see an Ephesians 3:20 anointing come on you. Now, if you're not already prayed up, I want you praying in the Holy Ghost right now, because I want you to hear me, that as you step, this is for the Open Door family, as you step into 27, you are entering into an Ephesians 3:20 year where God says he will do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think. The realm of blessing, the wide and the open space that you're about to step into, is not like anything you've ever imagined or even prepared for. You are not currently ready for the wealth that's coming your way. You're not currently ready for the blessing that's coming your way. But today, in the name of Jesus, we are going to gird ourselves up, we're going to strengthen our stance, and we're going to make sure we're prepared for the onslaught of blessing that's coming. Because I mean this, if you are not prepared for the blessing, then it can consume you. If you do not properly handle the blessing that God puts in your hands, it can actually curse you. We see examples of that in Scripture where the blessing became a cursing. Now, where this ministry is headed and the blessing that's coming on it is going to invite a greater level of attack. A greater level of spiritual attack is coming. And I can tell you this by spending time with Pastor Troy, Leanna, with the Brewer family, with the entire leadership team, they are warring a good warfare. They're already operating at the highest level of spiritual warfare. And yet, the attack is going to increase. So what do we do about that? How do we manage that? If everybody at the top level of leadership is already warring and we're going to a greater level of warfare, what do? We increase our prayer cover. This is a mandate for the Open Door family. It is time to increase our prayer cover over this ministry. It's time to raise it up. Now, what does that mean? When I say that, most people think it means increase the amount of time they're praying. Now, that's certainly true. In fact, I want to show you some stats here. 85% of Christian adults say that prayer is very important to them. 85% say that. But look at this. Only 10% of Christians age, now this is age 18 to 30, only 10% of them pray daily. So 85% say prayer is important. 10% say that they pray every single day. And look at this, the average prayer duration is 1 minute. Now, do we need to increase the amount of time we're praying? Yes. Yes. But that's not all. For those of you who are already praying, there's something else you can do other than increasing your prayer time. But people will say this all the time because, remember, I used to be the director of an international prayer center. So that was my job long before I was a preacher, a pastor, anything. I was just a prayer. For years, all I did was pray for people without anyone knowing who I was. I didn't want anybody to know who I was. No one knowing my name, but they would come in, call in for prayer. And for those years, it was probably 3 or 4 years that I did that by itself. During that time, I prayed for more than 100,000 people one-on-one. That's not counting crowds. This is one-on-one prayer, standing with someone, talking with someone on the phone. But when you're doing that 8-10 hours a day, you can get through quite a number of people. And I learned some things during that time. And whenever I talk about increasing the prayer cover, people always say, I just don't have time. Well, number one, get this down. Write this in the comments. Say this with me. That's a lie. Every single person on this planet now, 100 years ago, 100 years from now, they all have the same amount of time. How are some people able to accomplish so much more? Because they prioritize so much better. And people always tell me, I don't have time. I don't have any time to pray. Well, let me help you with this. Here's how you can have time to pray. Do you know what time you get up? You need to write down what time you know you wake up in the mornings, Monday through Friday. Maybe difference on Saturdays and Sundays, but even on those days, what time do you normally get up? Set your alarm for 30 minutes before that. So that's too much. Set your alarm for 15 minutes before that. Set your alarm for 10 minutes before that. Even if you do 10 minutes before that, you're doing 10 times more than the average person is doing. 10 minutes of prayer, simply because you set your alarm 10 minutes early so that you could pray. So yes, we need to spend more time in prayer. We can spend more time in prayer. But that's not the only solution. The main solution is to just learn how to pray right. If you just learn how to pray right, how many of you know that you've seen someone doing a job and they spent so much time working on it that you could have done in 15 minutes? I mean, they did it in like, it took them 3 hours to do this job and you could have had it done in 30 minutes. Why? Because you know what you're doing. You know the tips, you know the tricks, you know how to get it done. And when it comes to prayer, there's an art to prayer. There is, here's another point for your notes, a science that governs prayer. One of the things I learned by praying for people, more than 100,000 people over that period of time, is there were set laws governing prayer. Without me even attempting to prove this theory correct, it came to me. I saw people who would pray a certain way and they would get results much more frequently than those who would pray a different way. And I would see other people who prayed like these people and they would get results. But then I would see other people over here like these people and they would pray and they would not get results. And I realized that there are set laws governing prayer because prayer is a system that God has put in place that operates through laws. Let's look at a Bible verse. I want to make sure we're scriptural. Let's stay scriptural here. We're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. So get this in your notes. And Evan, as people comment, as they have prayer requests, they have questions, we want to hear from them, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, so 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a what?" What is it, Evan?
Good soldier.
Good soldier. He's over there working. He don't know what's going on. an indoor harness.
That's a good soldier. That's what it is.
I know. He's juggling a lot of things over there. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, notice it says that one of our callings is to endure hardness. You will endure tribulation, persecution, trial, difficulty, attacks, battling the curse of this world. But how are you supposed to endure it? Does it say like, some people think it says like this. Endure hardness like a baby. God, I'm not going to make it through this, God. That's not how it said to endure hardness. It said endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. For no man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Striving for masteries. I have that underlined here. We are striving for perfection. God's not calling you to be perfect. No. Or to be condemned. Don't be condemned when you don't achieve perfection. But we are called to strive for perfection. What does that mean, to strive for perfection? It means to strive to be like Jesus Christ. That's what it means. To endure hardness the way he would endure hardness. To endure difficulty the way he would endure iniquity. And we do the best that we can to be as much like him as we possibly can be. And so we're striving for those masteries to be like him, but we will not be crowned, meaning victory. We're not going to get victory unless we do it lawfully, meaning there are set laws governing this warfare. And if we will learn the set laws governing this warfare, we will be crowned. Now, it doesn't really matter what you're believing God for. Are you believing God for healing? Are you believing God for deliverance? Household salvation. I want to know right now in the comments, what is your prayer request? What are you believing God for? Are you believing God for someone in your family to be saved? I want to see their names in the comments right now because we're going to stand in agreement together and you can call that prayer center. You can call the prayer center at 877. If I'm not mistaken, that's the number, 413-0888, 877-413-0888, and just tell them, this is the name of the person I'm believing God for. Stand in agreement with me, and they're going to pray with you. And if two agree as touching anything, it shall be done.
Yes. Jules says in the chat, please pray for my son James. He's struggling with rejection, anger, resentment from his past. He's 46 and continues to live from past pain. So definitely call that number. Let's get the prayer lines going right now.
Yeah, Father, we pray for James right now and all the James out there. We pray that your word would be fulfilled that says you and your house shall be saved. And we pray the peace of God will come to his life, that the blinders that the enemy has placed on him will be removed, and that he will see the light of the gospel, and it'll set him free in every area of his life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So yeah, call that number. Let's agree together. But it doesn't matter what you're praying for, what you're believing for. If you will learn how to strive lawfully, then you can achieve the crown. You can receive the crown. And of course, the goal is to throw that crown and place it back on the head of Jesus Christ. So what are we talking about when we talk about set laws governing prayer? The reason why prayer is a system. And this is a big mistake that a lot of people make. They think prayer is a psychiatrist's couch where we just kind of lay down and then we tell God everything. And listen, please don't hear what I'm not saying. You can be vulnerable before God, truthful, honest. Lay your soul bare before him. We see it all throughout the Psalms. We see it all throughout Scripture. Just sharing with him what's on your heart. But that can't be the sum total of your prayer life. If that's the sum total of your prayer life, you are missing out on the strategies that can help you to be crowned and get the victory that God wants you to have through Jesus Christ. And in all honesty, we'll talk about this in a minute. A lot of people, I believe, get on Jesus' nerves. They get on his nerves. They frustrate him, and not in a good way. We're not talking about the Luke 18 frustration either. Why is prayer a system? Because for a holy God to make contact with an unholy man, that's not legal. In fact, if he were to make contact with you, and if you were housing or permitting sin in your life, and you're standing before the presence of God the Father, not only would your skin melt off of your bones, but that sin would have to be judged. And that sin would be judged, and you would along with that sin. If you look at, for example, the high priests, when they would go into the tabernacle, they had to wear bells around the edges of their garment so they would know if they had a rope tied to their foot. So the bells were so they would know if they stopped moving in there, which meant they were dead. And the rope was so they could pull them out of the Holy of Holies because he had died. Why? Why? Can't he just walk up into the presence of God any old time he wants to, any old way he wants to, say whatever he wants to say? No, there's a system. You don't just walk up into the Holy of Holies. You've got the outer court with the brazen altar, the laver. You've got the inner court with the table of shewbread, the seven-pronged golden candlestick, the altar of incense. And then you've got the Holy of Holies. There was a process by which you enter into the presence of God. Somebody said, well, this is the New Testament, and we've got Jesus, and we've got the blood of Jesus. That's right. You do have the blood of Jesus. But there is a process of applying that through faith and worship of Him. You're not bringing turtle doves or a lamb or any other types of sacrifices, but you do need to bring thanksgiving, praise, and worship. You do need to bring honor to His name. That still is not voided out. So there is a way of approaching God. In fact, I want to show you this. This is going to be in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to look at this together. This is one of the more startling verses to me, Matthew chapter 15. I write about this extensively in two books, Evan, that we've done. We did Encounter, which deals with revival and praying, but Armed for Victory specifically. Armed for Victory deals with spiritual warfare. And Gene Bailey just had me on Flashpoint, and we were digging into this subject matter. It's just kind of rekindled a fire on the inside of me to get back to my prayer roots and to impart that to you. Because at Open Door, we have got to increase our prayer cover, and we can do that by increasing our knowledge. The illumination that we have in our prayer lives is going to increase the effectiveness of our prayer lives. Because I'm telling you, you're about to see some miracles transpire that are going to be sweatless victories, where you've in the past maybe strove and tried too hard and got in the flesh in order to make it happen. You're going to see easy victory come as you learn these principles. Now, we're going to Matthew 15, Evan, as we turn there. What are folks saying in the comments as we turn to Matthew chapter 15?
Psalms 37 says, hi from TC, California. Good to have you with us. Christina said, don't be shy to ask questions. Absolutely. Add question marks before your message if you have any questions. Jewel asked what the number was. Let me go ahead and put that back up real quick. You can give that number a call for prayer. Let's see here. Yahweh says, let the good Lord receive the fruit of his labor.
Come on.
Amen for that.
Absolutely. And this is a key prophetic message for the body of Christ in general, but I believe going into 27 for Open Door. Key prophetic message for us. And I want you to look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 21, Matthew 15, 21. And if you haven't already, hit the share button. Why haven't you hit the share button? What's going on with you? Come on. This is good stuff. Share, like, comment. All the stuff, Evan.
All the things.
All the things. Troy's going to be with us, actually, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, September for the 11th. The Watchman's Call.
In Charlotte, North Carolina. Troy Brewer is going to be in Charlotte, North Carolina for the Watchman's Call. It's a prophetic conference during Rosh Hashanah. Oh, it's going to be so good. Prophetic conference during Rosh Hashanah beginning Friday, September the 11th. And we're going to be going Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning. So come and be with us. I believe your life is going to be changed forever. Now, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan came of the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Now stop right there. Look at me. Is this a legitimate need? Her daughter's being vexed by a devil. Does Jesus want to heal this woman's daughter? And the answer to the question is yes and yes. This is a legitimate need. Jesus does want to do it. In fact, he said, I came to annihilate the works of the devil. That's the reason why Jesus came, to cast that spirit out. So we know this is a legitimate request. We know that Jesus desires, it is his will to set this child free. And I get this, we know that Jesus loves this woman. How many of you believe Jesus loved this woman? And we know this woman saw Jesus as the source. But look at the next verse. Verse 23, it says, but he answered her not a word. Now, we're coming back to this verse, but I just described many of your prayer lives. You come to Jesus. You believe He's the source. You believe He's the answer. You love Jesus. Jesus loves you. You ask Him for something that His will. It is His will. It is a legitimate need. You are seriously dealing with an issue that He paid for, provided for, and yet nothing. What do you do? What do you do when heaven seems silent? What do you do? I'll tell you what most people do, what most Christians do, is they change their theology. They rewrite the Bible and they say, well, it just must not be the Lord's will. I guess God just wanted to pick another flower for heaven or some other kind of nonsense that they say that has no basis in Scripture whatsoever. They changed their theology. But here's what this woman did. She didn't change her theology. She changed her approach to God. You know that I believe there are many people that Jesus loves who love Jesus. There are many people that Jesus loves who comes to Him, but He didn't like talking to them. And this was just such an occasion. He answered her not a word. How many of you know people in your life? You know, there might be some of those family members you listed their name. You love them, but you're not fans of talking to them.
Why'd you just point at me?
Or you just happen to be over there.
Oh, okay.
You love them, but you just don't like talking to them. And what would you do, by the way, with somebody if every time you spoke with them, before you could get, hey, how you doing, out of your mouth, they're whining and complaining about everything that's going on in their life? And before you can say a word, they're already asking you for money. They're already asking you for a favor. I mean, what do you do with a relationship like that? You love them. You recognize them as family, but you keep them arm's length. And a lot of people, that's what their prayer life is like. The moment heaven is open, they start whining and complaining. The moment they approach God in prayer, they're asking Him for money or they're asking Him for something. And this woman came to God without engaging in a conversation, without worshiping. The Bible says, she said, here's what my need is. So she had a need-based approach. That is the problem with Western Christianity today. We have a need-based approach. But when she did not get an answer, she recognized that as not being sufficient. When heaven doesn't appear to answer you, when that's the perception, please know there's something wrong, and it's not heaven. And so here's what the Bible says, verse 24. Well, the disciples came and besought Him, saying, send her away. But and He said unto them, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. This isn't what I come here to do. This is not my assignment right now. She was a Gentile woman to help her. It's not my assignment. Then came she, and look at this. She changed her approach and worshiped Him. And after worshiping Him, said, Lord, help me. Help me. Well, that's a prayer all of us can pray. But worship came first. But look at this, even at that, but He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. That's insulting. Insulting. He's proving the pursuit. The proof of desire is in pursuit. Do you really want this thing you're asking for? A lot of people think they do, but are they willing to pursue Jesus to get it? Or are they just willing to flippantly, in a moment of desperation, cry out and say, Lord, here's my problem, and if He doesn't answer it in 30 seconds, give up on God? That's what most people do. Most people wait till the last minute, and they engage in a form of prayer that is completely ineffective, and when they don't get an answer, they blame God for not getting the answer. But the Bible says she changed her approach. She worshiped Him. She worshiped first. So there's a right way to approach Jesus. And even that, did you know that in Judaism, I believe it's if someone wants to convert to Judaism, the rabbis are required to reject them 3 times. What? Yeah. And by the way, the Judaism is not evangelistic. They're not out there knocking on doors, you know. And so when someone comes to them and says, I want to convert to Judaism, they say, no, go away. If you come back a second time, say, I want to convert to Judaism. They say, no, go away. If you come back a third time, at that point, they're required to share with you the enormous financial and personal costs that are involved. And if you then agree, after being nearly rejected 3 times and told about the enormous cost, if you then still say, I want to convert to Judaism, then they'll allow you to come in and go through an extensive process in order to do that. Well, you do realize Jesus is a Jew. Not was a Jew, is a Jew. And here this woman approaches him. No. She worships and cries out. No. And then she says something else. She keeps changing her approach until eventually he says, wow. Wow. In fact, let's look at what he said. Verse 28. Because she said, even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall off the master's table. He said, a woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you according to your will. So she engaged in a system of prayer that worked after trying several different methods. I have found that when praying for people, that there are generally four different kinds of prayer that they engage in. And I want to make sure, this isn't working for me here. Let's make sure this works. Yeah. Four different kinds of prayer people engage in. Number one, get this down. You're going to find yourself in these kinds of prayer, and you're going to realize how dumb it was to do this, okay? And it's okay. Don't get under condemnation. We all make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But after praying for so many people, I saw when people engaged in these kinds of prayer, they did not see results. So I need you to see this in your prayer life, because I promise you it's there. I need you to ball it up and throw it in the trash. Number one, the negotiator's prayer. Wow. What does that mean? This is when you are trying to strike a deal with God. Lord, if you'll just do this for me, I promise. I promise. I'll go to church every single Sunday. You're negotiating with God. Let's get through these quickly. Number two, you have the blackmail prayer. When negotiations deteriorate, as they inevitably do, then we get into blackmail. Now you say, God, if you don't do this for me, then I'm never going to church again. And you think that somehow, some way, you're going to strike a deal with God. You're like, what was the guy in Die Hard who wanted to strike a deal with Hans? Hans, Booby.
I'm your white knight.
I'm your white knight. And it didn't work out because God does not negotiate with terrorists. And that's essentially what you're trying to do there. And then you have, this is one of my favorites, the pious prayer. This is a purely Sadduceical, Pharisaical religious prayer. And generally, this prayer is prayed for the benefit of the hearer. That's why this prayer is prayed. Just to make sure people know you're spiritual. How you can know if you're praying the pious prayer, 30 seconds after you prayed it, you don't even remember what you said. That's the pious prayer. In the pious prayer, you just say super religious things that really have no impact on anything. You're just saying stuff. You just, for example, in the pious prayer, we'll say, Lord, we pray for all the children in Africa. Amen. No, you didn't. You did not just pray for all the children in Africa. You did not. Because you said you prayed for all the children of Africa doesn't mean you prayed for all the children of Africa. That's not praying for all the children of Africa. In order for Open Door to do the work that it does in Africa and around the world, we're going to have people who know how to pray for the children in those regions around the world. And it is not simply saying, Lord, we pray for China. Amen. No. No. And I'm praying for an open door in China for the Open Door ministry team to work in China. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you that there are believers in China who need the ministry of Open Door. And we pray now for those connections to be made, for supernatural agreement to take place. And if you're in China watching this, we stand in faith with you. We agree with you. And you can reach out to us. Go to troybrewer.com. Call that number if you can. Communicate with us. We want to stand in faith with you. So that's the pious prayer, very religious prayer. Evan, did you have something you wanted to add?
No, that's good. That's good.
And then, of course, we have the pity prayer. The pity prayer is not faith. It is not faith. The pity prayer seems to think that if it can get dramatic enough, if I can just communicate to God how desperate the need is, then he will have to bless me. The problem is, prayer is a system whereby a holy God communes with an unholy man. So it's not like God's just coming down and doing whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. So it's not that he wouldn't respond to desperation. It's just that generally he does not. He responds to faith. That's what he responds to. This is what pleases God. Not desperation, faith. So you got to ask yourself, when you're praying, are you appealing to desperation, or are you appealing to faith? For example, if you are praying for healing in your body and you're saying, oh God, I can't take this anymore, why don't you do something for me? Is that desperation, or does that sound like faith? Ask yourself, does this sound like faith? Well, what does faith sound like? Well, Mark 11, 24 tells you what faith sounds like. What things soever you desire when you pray, here it is, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. When do we believe that we receive? When we pray. So when you pray, you believe and you act as though you have received it. We're not talking about the power of positive thinking. We're talking about trusting in God and essentially saying, God, your credit is good with me. You promised it. You paid for it. You provided for it. I believe the work is already done. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then you stand on that and you become patient in the waiting and you shall have it, because it's through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. So by recognizing, identifying those four problems in our prayer lives, you're already upping your prayer cover. You're already upping your prayer cover in your personal life. But now we want to look at defining prayer very quickly. Before we do, I want to get to your comments. I want to hear what you guys have to say. So, Evan, what do we got going on?
Yeah, let's see. We've got, Nate said, my God shall supply. By the way, good to see you, Nate. My God shall supply all your need. That's singular. He is your need. So stop trying to bring your pity to him and bring your faith.
Yes.
Come on, Nate. Yahweh's watching from Ohio. Good to have you with us. Man, Yahweh's in the chat. That's pretty cool. Let's see. James says, we have to stay in prayer so that we are most effective for the prayers of the random people we encounter whom the Lord leads us to. Absolutely. You gotta, if you stay in prayer, pray always, right? Don't cease to pray. Let's see. Robin says, at times when I've realized right after I prayed a pity prayer, I surely thought I heard God repeat how I sounded to him. I love God's way of humor and correction. Amen.
Yeah, if you let God, one of the hardest things, there are two very difficult things for believers. Number one is being honest with God, just being honest with him. Number two, this is even harder, is allowing him to be honest with you. But the moment you make the decision that you're going to have a relationship where you have open communication with God and he can be honest with you, you're going to have a fun relationship. He's got a sense of humor and he can be very serious, but you can have a lot of fun communing and conversing with God. Here's what I want you to get down in your notes. Prayer is more than talking. Prayer is a bridge between two worlds. Heaven has what we need here on earth. Prayer builds a portal so that what's in heaven can get to the earth.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of bridges that exist. How many of you, when you were a kid, if you're going through the woods, you'd have a log bridge. Throw a big old log across a creek, and you can make your way across that creek. Well, that'll get you across the creek, but I don't think you'd move a couch with somebody else across that log bridge on a creek. It wasn't built for that. It can't contain that. There are other bridges that are made for a single car to pass through, but you can't get an 18-wheeler on that bridge. And then you have suspension bridges. So there are all different kinds of bridges, and so you have to ask yourself, if prayer is a bridge between two worlds, then ask yourself, what kind of bridge have I built, and is it sufficient enough for what I'm believing God for to get across? Or is the portal too small? Is the bridge sufficient enough to carry that house I'm believing for to come across? That salvation I'm believing for my family to come across? Is my prayer life building a bridge so that that can happen? So prayer, number one, is a bridge between two worlds. Let's look at just a common definition of prayer. Prayer is communing and conversing with, asking and receiving from God. I heard somebody say one time that prayer is a thought turned Godward. So we don't have to get super complicated about prayer. If you boil it all down, prayer is simply a thought that you turn toward heaven.
Yeah.
That's prayer.
Jennifer said, wasn't the woman with the issue of blood desperate? And I think the desperation, she turned that into an act of faith, right?
Yes. Notice that what I said, generally speaking, God does not move through desperation. I even use that phrase. God doesn't generally move through desperation, because we have a hard time defining desperation. We can't decipher between someone who's desperate in the sense of they're just crying out to God as a last resort, or someone who's desperate and they see him as their source and they're trusting in him alone to bring it to pass. That is a form of desperation, but you have to divide between those two. So there's desperation, then there's faith. And faith, yes, will push through the crowd. Faith will cry out, and even the more so when Jesus is present. So, yeah, but hear what I'm saying. Desperation is generally a lack of faith. Oh God, why don't you do this? That's not faith. Oh God, I can't take this anymore. That's not faith. That's not faith. Oh God, this headache's killing me. That's not faith. And there are people who've gotten into legalism with those kinds of things, and that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not saying that if you say, this headache's killing me, that this headache's going to kill you. I mean, it might. But that's not essentially what I'm communicating here. It's that honoring God with our speech matters. Finding out what His will is and what He wants us to say and how He wants us to pursue a thing matters. And it makes a difference. And so even when it comes to a lot in the Word of Faith movement, I'm Word of Faith to the bone, legalism rose up in the next generation of Word of Faith where they became fearful of saying something like, you know, this headache's killing me. They're afraid that that's actually going to kill you. No, wait a second. The problem is that speaking life is hard. It's hard. You're not going to be able to flip the switch if you're just used to just running off at the mouth and saying whatever you want and saying things that don't honor God, that don't line up with Scripture, and then all of a sudden you get in trouble and now you're going to get your speech in line. No, that's not going to work. It's not going to happen. So in the small things, practice honoring God in your speech because it matters and it'll matter in the big things. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about staying in the place of faith, honoring God with what comes out of our mouth and with our pursuit of Him. Does our pursuit of Him honor Him? If our pursuit of Him indicates that we don't believe He already did it, this is so important. When you get into a place in your prayer life and you're trying to get Jesus to do something, that's not a faith-filled place to be. Because when you're asking Jesus, for example, to heal you, then you are saying He didn't already heal you on the cross. That it's not already done. It's not already a finished work. So you're even acknowledging your unbelief in your prayer. I need you to heal me. He already healed you. It's like, oh God, be with me. Well, the Bible says He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So by praying that prayer, you're saying, I believe you're not with me, but I'm asking you to be with me. No. Say, Father, I thank you that you are with me because your word says you will never leave me and you will never forsake me. And I receive your presence into my life. And I receive your direction in my life. See, there's a difference between those two. Oh, I wish I had a month. Wish I had a month with you. But keep the questions coming. Great question. It's important that we distinguish. Well, we don't have time for that today. So let's, not your questions, that quote that I had. So let's rethink prayer just for a moment. Let's run through this. We're going to run through it quickly. But let's rethink prayer. Let's think about it differently. And with this illumination, you'll be able to increase your prayer coverage just by this. Prayer is placing a demand upon His ability. Prayer is placing a demand upon the ability of God. How about in prayer, you become God's will toward a demonically ruled world? That's powerful. You become an ambassador of the will of God toward a demonically ruled world. In prayer, you are taking Jesus' place and acting in His stead. Now think about this for just a moment. This will change how you pray all by itself. Write it down. Get the screenshot. I'll pause right here so you can get a screenshot. Get this screenshot so you have this definition. So you think about it. Does your prayer, is it worthy of taking Jesus' place and acting in His stead? And you can see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You'll see that and all throughout the New Testament. That's the reason why we pray in Jesus' name. Do you realize that every time you say, in the name of Jesus, what you're saying is, I am an ambassador of the kingdom, and I am here on His behalf and in His stead. That's what you're saying when you say, I pray in the name of Jesus. And in Him we live, in Him we move, in Him we have our being. Oh my goodness, your prayer life is about to take off as you recognize these key definitions. And then through prayer, God is set free among men. Man, if you just think about these things before you pray in your Bible study, and just before you utter a word, God, I thank you that this prayer is going to set you free among the people in this Bible study, or in my family, at my home, over my food, in this service, at this outreach, whatever the situation, And Father, in Jesus' name, we receive your presence. Recognizing what prayer is will change how you pray. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you suffering? What's the solution? Pray. Is anyone joyful? He is to sing praises to God. Is anyone among you sick? He must call for the elders, spiritual leaders of the church, and they are to what? Pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, he will be forgiven. And here's the next verse. Therefore, confess your sins one to another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt, this is what I was trying to get to, heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective. Some prayers are never made effective by God. Thank God. Thank God. How many of you look back on some things you prayed and you're so thankful he didn't give you that spouse you were praying for? I mean, you look back over that house and you didn't know it was full of termites and you were just, thank God that he made certain prayers effective. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. It is not just Troy Brewer's prayers who are dynamic and have tremendous power. It's your prayers. And in this next season, we need every single ODX family member, every single person connected with this ministry to increase their prayer cover. And you can do that by, number one, increasing your time, yes. But it does no good to increase the amount of time you pray if you're not praying right. I wrote in the book Encounter, it's not enough to pray, you have to pray right. There's a right way to pray, and there's a wrong way to pray. And when we pray, we want to make sure we're representing the will of God. When we pray, we want to set God free among men. When we pray, now how do we do that? I'm going to give you five keys that will transform your prayer life instantly right now, okay? Five things. Some of you have trouble praying for 1 minute. We're going to show you how to do it for 30 minutes without even trying, okay? But first, I want you to see what Troy Brewer is doing. I want you to see what's happening this week at Open Door because of your partnership. We actually have a video clip here. I don't know if we can full screen that, Evan. I don't know if we can do that so they can see it really well. Because it's just the amount of work this man does. He's one of the hardest working people I know. And the team and everybody involved, they're all operating in such a Christ-like spirit. And you see the hand of God on what's happening. Let's take a look at this. Here it is.
We thank the project for having given us this opportunity to construct for us a very good well.
Let us pray.
Jesus is my G. Only him I want to give my energy.
It will provide us with clean water so that we don't suffer from diseases like typhoid.
Focus on the cross. He's my everything. So I am for him.
Community over your well, over your homes, over your children, over your education. You know what? You guys grow up and you make a difference.
Yes.
Yes. After you grow up, you go and you go and be the hands and feet of Jesus.
Amen.
You dig water wells. You build houses. You feed people. Always remember what God did for you. What he did for you, you can do for someone else.
Because I want.
At our church, they raise the money for this. Little kids. And they were so excited. So on behalf of Open Door Church,
Open Door Church,
on behalf of Spark Worldwide,
and our Spark Worldwide,
we bless you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
He's my everything. So I am for him, gave his life for me, live my life for him, want to know him more, it's what I'm living for. The more I know him, the more I know myself.
Isn't that powerful? This is what we need more of in the body of Christ. and you're making this possible. So I want every single one of you to go to troybrewer.com and just pray, Lord, what's something I can do today? I know you've been partnering with Troy Brewer Ministries, but what can I do today? You can join the ODX family too. Go to odx.tv. We're about to release another episode, another whole season of The Counter. You get access to all of that ahead of time. You get the hour-long program instead of the 30 minutes by being a member, and that's just helping to support this work. So go to troybrewer.com, or even better yet, let's just bombard their phone center, right? Let's just bombard their phone center with support. Even if you got to call back, even if you have to leave a message, whatever you have to do, call that number and say, thank God for you. Just even just to tell them, we thank God for you. But while you're there, I encourage you to do something to sow into what God is doing through the Open Door Experience. You know, you could do $20 right now, and it would make the world of difference. Even in a work like that, you don't realize how far $20 can go. You think, well, I can't give $10,000, but you can give something, even if it's $5. Can you imagine if 100,000 people gave $5, what we could accomplish? Everybody do what the Holy Spirit says do. Call 1-877-413-0888. Just let them know we're standing in faith with you. We hear you, we see you, and we're here too. We're here too, and we're here to partner with you. So now I want to show you how to transform your prayer life, because a lot of people say, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I have trouble praying. That's one of the hardest things in the world that people do. I try to pray, and I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. So we're gonna go through this, okay? I want you to get five. Five character traits, okay? Make a list right now. Get a pen and paper. Get a note. Get your tablet, whatever it is. And I want you to list five traits of God that you know to be real and that you're thankful for. And what I mean by that is five things that you have experienced in His presence and testimonies you have. Maybe you know Him to be long-suffering because there was a long time where He was dealing with you and you just kept pushing back and pushing back and pushing back. Maybe you know Him to be forgiving because of the egregious offenses. I think we can all relate with that you've committed. But His grace and His mercy, you know Him to be gracious. You know Him to be merciful. Maybe you know Him to be the healer. Maybe you know Him to be a deliverer. I want you to think of five traits of the nature of God, five of them, and write them down. I want some people to put some in the comments right now too, Evan. As you see them, just read them out. So you guys, I want you to write down, what are some traits about God that you're thankful for because you've experienced it in your own personal life? He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He's a healer. He's a forgiver. He's gracious. He's merciful. Yeah. He's kind. Evan?
Yahweh says, He is my refuge. He is my rescuer.
So refuge. He is my protection. He's my rescuer. Oh, what a good one for the Open Door family. He's our rescuer.
Amanda says, His mercy.
Yes, yes. His Keep them coming. I want some more of those comments. And as you do that, then here's the next thing you're going to do, okay? You're going to get, let's see, what's the best way to do this?
Kimberly says, faithful, forgiving, loving, redeemer, and deliverer.
Yes.
Jen, God is a miracle worker.
Come on.
Healer, comforter.
So write down five. So all of you need to get five, and you can pull ideas from these comments. Five characteristics of God. Then the next thing you're going to do is you're going to get scripture that extols those characteristics or describes those characteristics. And you're going to write it down on the piece of paper where you have the characteristic. So you're going to have that characteristic. Then you're going to have the scripture that matches that. So if He's a miracle worker, get a verse that says He's a miracle worker. If He's the baptizer in the Holy Ghost, then get the verse that says He's a baptizer in the Holy Ghost. If He's a forgiver, then whatever. You see what I'm saying? In fact, put some of those verses down. If you have some verses that you know extol this, that talk about these characteristics, let me know in the comments, because people watching this will need some ideas, and your comments are going to help them find those places in Scripture. And if you wonder, man, I don't know where to find a verse about the long-suffering of God, well, Google it. Google it. Google will have the answer to that question. You'll get a whole list of Scriptures. But just get one. Just pick. If He's your shepherd and you're thankful for His protection, for His guidance, for His leadership, Psalm 23, Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So you're going to get five characteristics of the nature of God, and then you're going to get five verses, one for each of those characteristics. And then you're going to get some testimonies. You're going to write down something that will trigger in your mind, because you know your own personal testimony. You don't have to write it all the way out. Right next to the scripture verse and the characteristic, you're going to have your story, what he delivered you from, what he forgave you of, what he provided for you, how he healed you, how he did a miracle in your life. And so now, when it's time to pray, I've just given you the strategy. You're going to pull out this piece of paper that you're going to work on, and you're going to turn on the light, and you're going to read it. You don't have to be super spiritual, because I promise you, you do this, the presence of God is going to show up every single time when you do this. You're going to pull out that piece of paper, and you're going to go through characteristic number one, and then you're going to cite the scripture, and then you're going to testify about how you know that to be true because you saw it in your own personal life. So you say, Father, I thank you that you are my healer, because the Bible says in Isaiah 53 and verse 5, you were wounded for my transgressions. You were bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon you, and with your stripes I am healed. And I remember when I got a bad report from the doctor, but you supernaturally touched my body and you healed my body, and I'm delivered from that today. And I give you glory for that, God. And I thank you for that because you are my healer. And you do that five times. By the time you get through the characteristic, the scripture or scriptures, feel free to do more than one, and your testimony, go through it. Rehearse it before him. He loves that. When you rehearse before him your testimony and you share in your prayer time. I'm a walker, so I'm not somebody who lays down or who sits still. I'm in my prayer chamber and I'm walking like a cage lion back and forth. Thank you, Lord, that you did this, because according to the word of God, it says this about you. And you did this for me, and I give you glory. You do that for five things. The Bible says he inhabits the praises of his people. The presence of God will be there. And now, things will begin to shift. Here's the key, though. Worship first. Just worship the Lord. Give him praise and give him glory. And this is a way to do that as well. This is a way to worship him as well. Begin to worship him. And this is a way to worship him. Go through those characteristics of who he is, what the Bible says about who he is, what he did for you, and testify about those things. And then, once you know he's there, you know what I mean? When you know he's there, when you know that God is there, it could be from an outward manifestation or just an inward knowing that you know. Because God is everywhere all the time. He's omnipresent. He's always there. Like we said earlier, God be with me. You don't have to pray that. He already is. But there are times when he's nearer, when he's closer. And when you sense that, then be very, very wise about what you say. That's not the time when the presence of God to show up, start whining and complaining. Now is where you, oh, come on, get this down. Speak the word. So you're going to worship, extol those five characteristics, share scripture that describe those characteristics, testify about areas in your life and times when those things were real to you and true to you. And now that he's there, speak the word. Speak the word. If you're believing for something, if you're praying for something, then you get scripture to cover your case. And instead of whining and complaining about your situation, you start pressing into the crowd like the woman with the issue of blood, like blind Bartimaeus, but you're doing that by speaking the word. What did Jesus tell that one man? He said, fear not, speak the word only, and your servant shall be healed. So begin to speak that word. And that word is what is going to build the bridge from heaven to earth, so that what you're believing for can get from heaven to earth. If we will do these things, we will see the Spirit of God manifested in our personal prayer lives, and we will see an increase in our prayer cover over this ministry, which has to happen. Because this work matters. It matters to us, and it matters to the world. Go into the next level in 2027, but we must increase our prayer cover. So here's what you need to do now. Go to troybrewer.com. Check out all of the resources that are there. Call the number on the screen. Let's pray with you. Let's stand in faith with you. 1-877-413-0888. And let's spend time every day thanking God for this ministry, praying for Troy and Leanna, for the team, believing God for breakthrough and for their safe and speedy return, because we miss them over here in the States. We're glad they're over there. ready to see him. And he's going to be right here in Charlotte, North Carolina, September the 11th. With me, we're tag teaming for the Watchman's Call, Prophetic Conference, Rosh Hashanah, September the 11th, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Come and be with us, and we'll see you then. God bless.